Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
www.ballyballyradio.co.uk brings you the latest Bollywood news, updates and film promos.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show
on iTunes.
Now shake hands with celebrities on Singapore talk show, Carry On Harry.
Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.
Hi friends, welcome to yet another show. Your talk show host Harry Johal. Today we have a very, very special guest. He is a music icon. He's a Grammy nominated artist. He has mesmerized audience for years, in fact decades, with his voice, and has been one of the greatest performers of his time. Yes, I'm talking about Gary U.S. Barnes, who has just released his new book titled By U.S. Barnes, That's My Story, a book which carries memoirs from the artist, how his life has went from years as a musician, and what were his experiences, what were the high career points, what were the low career points, what are the things that he learned from this book. And through his book, he's trying to inspire the new musicians. So we'll get to know more about U.S. Barnes. And I would like to add here that he's not just a world-class performer and a hit songwriter, but he's also one of the person who is the influencer of Bruce Springsteen. And so there's a lot of curiosity in my mind at my end, and I just hope that there's a lot of curiosity at Gary Sir's, and also that he would like to share his story on Carry On Harry Talk Show for the very first time. So let's get connected with him and get to know more about him, his book writing experience, and also a little bit about his journey over the years as a musician.
Yes, I am.
All right, sir. First of all, sir, a belated happy birthday to you.
Why, thank you very much.
And I know that it's pretty more exciting for you because since your book has also been released, your single has also been released, and a lot of fun is and excitement is happening in your world.
Yeah, it's still happening. I don't know what it is. I'm getting too old for this.
No, sir. You're not old because you still mesmerize audience with your voice, and you still have that command, which all the way you have been having for last five decades.
Yeah, yes, it's been beautiful. It's been a great life. I thank God for that.
Thank you, sir, for coming on the show as well. So, Mr. Gary, would you like to take a little bit of flashback and introduce to us like your beginning in the music field? Like, a lot of people idolize you today, but they want to know about your life. I'm sure your book has every detail about it, but I want a little bit details from you as well on my show, sir.
Okay, very good. Well, I started in I started in 1959 from a first recording. My first professional recording was in 59, but I actually started singing, I guess, about 1952 or 53, when I kind of formed a group in Norfolk called the Turks. We were just a street corner group, and we sang on the corner in front of Boone's Market just to thrill the girls. That was it. That was my beginning.
Okay. All right. And during this course of things, at what stage of your singing, you decided that you want to be a professional singer?
Well, when my mom took me down to see a couple of bands that were at the Booker T Theater in Norfolk, which was called the Attucks Theater then. One was Bull Moose Jackson and his band, and the other one was Ivory Joe Hunter and his band. And I got a chance to see for my first time what the excitement was all about. I mean, the clothes that they wore were exciting, all fabulous bright colors, and the girls were excited and thrilled to see them. They were screaming and yelling and trying to grab at them, and right away I told my mom, I go, "Hey, Mom, I don't want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or Indian chief. I want to be one of those guys right there."
Wow!
And that's what I went on to be. And my mom actually, God bless her, she helped me along.
Correct. And in fact, what a blessing a mom has given to you, that, you know, you not only realize your dreams, but, you know, in a way, you took out the stress out of life. Millions of people who have been over the years listening to your music, and, you know, they have been like so much, you know, attached to you in terms of, you know, you as a performer, sir.
Well, I'd like to think so. I'd like to hope so. I would love to see people, you know, actually get a thrill or get a laugh or get a smile out of every day that I'm around them. I'll try to do that to everybody in the world that I can, even though I know I can't do that physically. But, hey, if my recordings are played enough, I could do it to everybody every day.
Correct, sir. So, in your career, you have seen a lot of high points, like being nominated for Grammy, being working with world-class music performers, performing in front of thousands and thousands of crowds. What are the, you know, things that you really cherish about you as a musician, you know, over the years? What are the things that has really gone into your, you know, have seeped down into your mindset that you still, you know, every time you recall that visual, something which is very close to your heart? Would you like to give a little bit of account of your journey experiences?
Well, I've always been more so of a fan than anything else. And over the past 50-odd years, I've gotten to be on stage with some of the greatest singers. And I was a fan of these singers, such as, you know, Clyde McFadden and Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson and B.B. King and the Drifters, the Coasters, and, you know, all of these people I've been on stage with. And the best part of all of that is I've become very good friends, and I became very good friends with all of them. With all of them, I mean, a lot of them that are still living today, we still talk throughout each month.
Mm-hmm.
Ben King and Clan and Chuck Jackson and most of those guys that I talk to, especially, you know, Bruce Springsteen and Steve Van Zandt, even the new guys that are out here, you know, Huey Lewis and the Playboy, I talk to them quite often, and that gives me a thrill. And every time I think of one of them, I think of me with one of them, and that's the thrill of my life.
Wow. And there's also, you know, you had a very humorous outing with the boxer Muhammad Ali, sir. Would you like to tell a little bit about that to my listeners?
Now, who was that? I couldn't hear you.
Your association with Muhammad Ali was one of the humorous thing that has been specially highlighted to me by your publicist.
Yeah, we got together with Yank Barry, and I created a company called Global Village Market.
Mm-hmm.
What we had planned to do was serve food to. We started out just doing prisons and state. Jails and all that, and feeding the prisoners that couldn't get food for their religious beliefs, you know. So we started doing that, and then we started feeding kids throughout the world. And we started off in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And feeding a lot of the kids that were out in the woods of Africa, where the nuns throughout the United States had gone there and built camps for them. And so then we hired Muhammad Ali as our spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave credence to our what we were doing, because everybody loved Muhammad Ali, and he loved the food, and he loved what we were doing. So he joined us, and he's one of the greatest men of all time. I love him to death. He's such a sweet, generous man. I remember going into the woods with the Ali and on a bus after we traveled to Africa to feed the kids, and we were sitting in on the dirt ground in all of those camps, and there'd be hundreds and hundreds of kids, and he would not leave that area until he had physically put every kid on his knee and gave him a kiss and a hug. Everyone, thousands. Wow. I thought that was unbelievable.
Wow, sir. It's an amazing, you know, you are not just, you know, taking the, you know, the stress out of life through your music, but you are also touching hearts with the efforts that you have, you know, made. And I think all these kind of blessings have been, you know, in a way, has been, you know, given that power to you, that your music has grown over the years. You have evolved as one of the greatest artists of your time, and it's really truly blessed for me at my end, you know, bringing you over to my show Carrie and Harry, and today we are discussing about 50 years of your career, and soon we'll be talking about your book as well. So I would like you to recall a little bit about your recording performances with Bruce Springsteen and E Street Band.
Yeah, we started that, you know, in the, actually, we started in 1981.
Mm.
But I had met Bruce a few years before then, when he came down to see me in a club in Jersey. Just him and a bunch of guys, and sitting in the audience, and all of us, I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him, because I wasn't listening to the radio then. I was on the road trying to make a living. And he came in, and one of the fellas said, "There's a guy out here that would like to get up on stage and sing a song with you."
Wow.
And I went, "Oh, great, that'll be fine. Give me his name and I'll bring him up." And they told me who it was, and I announced to the audience, I said, "We have a young man out here that would like to sing with us, named Bruce Springsteen." And the audience went wild. And I went, oh my God, who is this guy? I don't know who this is. Everybody else knows him but me. And he got up on stage, and we sang, I guess, about an hour and a half of every song we could think of that we knew together. And the place went wild. We had a blast. We became friends that night, very good friends that night. And sure enough, about 4 or 5 years later, he called me in to do some recordings with him, and we had a couple of hit albums, Dedication and On the Line.
Correct. And what an amazing collaboration it is, like two legends, you know, in their own way, you know, entertaining the masses. I'm just visualizing like how the things would have been, even though I haven't not experienced it, but I can imagine, you know, the crowds being going, you know, crazy about this kind of a collaboration between two of the great artists from US. So you have over the years, you know, done various genres of music, from standard rock and roll to other forms of music. Which form of music is more close to you as a singer? Means your personal choice is what?
Well, my personal choice is rock and roll.
Okay, and
I love rock and roll, which has changed over the times, you know.
Yeah, and how do you see the change? You know, is it like a progressive change, or do you see that there's a lot of, you know, amalgamation of, you know, low substandard quality being introduced into the rock and roll world?
Well, technology has gotten a lot better, of course. I mean, it went from, when I was recording, it was two tracks. Now, I don't think you can count the number of tracks that they got out there. I got about 128 tracks here in my home studio, you know? So that has changed. Musically, the kids have gotten a lot better informing lyrics and music together, although it has changed. It was far more simpler when I started out, but that goes with age, you know. We worked with 2 to 4 chords. Now they work from 8 to 16 chords or more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I tend not to want to put that many chords in one of my songs. I get confused enough as it is.
Correct. But still, sir, the soul of the music still stands with you. That is the bottom line. Even though the technology has, you know, risen from that period to today, but ultimately, a true listener, you know, somebody who really loves music, he always sought out for the soul of the music. Music is not just about, you know, making a sound. It's about, you know, touching the heart, and which is very much evident from your kind of music. And we have seen the kind of music you have worked, and, you know, over the years, it can rise to 24 chords also in future, but still, what you have sung is mind-blowing, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I still love the music. I still love the way the music is formed, and I can still get up and dance every now and then, too.
Wow, what a spirit, sir. Okay, sir. Even though, sir, you have just celebrated your 74th birthday recently with your book launch, but I still, you are still young at heart, and I think this this spirit should inspire, you know, youngsters that, you know, the true form of an artist is that he's never old and he continues to, you know, look the positive side of his art.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, you better believe it. No, I'm never too old to rock.
Wow, sir. Okay. So, coming back to your book launch, recently you have released your first book, which is a kind of a memoir by U.S. Bonds, That's My Story. Would you like to tell us a little bit of, information, like what have you actually tried to compile, in this book?
Well, I wanted to try to combine the faith you can have in yourself and your family. I've been married 51 years this past March to the same lady, and I have a beautiful daughter. Now, we also work together. They've been with me on the road professionally with all the show between in the last 18 years. And my band has been with me since 1980. And these are all my friends and my family. And the book kind of tells you the struggles that I went through daily back when we were young, when I first had my baby, and how we overcame it only through faith and love, we continue to do that. I mean, my wife and I, we still love each other, I'm proud to say.
God bless.
And my daughter also, she's like the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
Wow. And what was the most difficult part of writing this book, according to you?
Most difficult was trying to find my friends that I remember from 100 years ago. But it was fun, actually, going back to Norfolk and finding all the guys that I grew up with there, going back to Florida and finding all the guys, and especially finding my sister that I hadn't seen in a long time down there, and just going back to all the memories of all the concerts and all of the good times and even the bad times that we had. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't as painful as I thought it was going to be. In fact, it was a lot more fun than pain.
Correct. And what kind of motivation do you find that you want to give through your book to the readers? Is it like the entertainment part of your life, or is it that you want to inspire the younger generation that, you know, if you're really dedicated, if you're really hardworking, then you should really go out? What kind of objectives do you have in your mind when you will judge your book as to be successful, apart from, you know, the sales part?
Well, just to let them know that it's not going to be easy. Nothing in life is that easy. I mean, being on the road and being a singer, it's not as easy as it seems. But you can make it easy if you live it right. You know, if you learn how to live it right, it's easy. You can only make it hard by doing drugs and all that other crazy stuff, you know?
Correct.
But if you stay clean and you keep your head on straight and you surround yourself with a good family, life can be much easier, and money doesn't mean all that much.
Correct. So just now you mentioned that, you know, the hardest part was, you know, to get in touch with all the colleagues and all the friends who have been associated with you as a music, or, you know, associated with you on personal level. Were there like some kind of new discoveries that you were not aware about yourself, which were shared to you by some of the friends who told you or gave you an account of the things which you were not earlier aware of, and you found those things to be very interesting? Have you like tried to pen all those things also into it?
Those are that I found. It's very few that I found. I mean, like I said before, I surrounded myself with a lot of good people, a lot of knowledgeable people, and they kind of guided me along the way, you know. Yes, I did have some pretty bad managers at the time, but I never counted them as friends. They were employees and employers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't count them into my friend's account. I counted them into people I had to war with in order to get to the good battleground.
Correct. In this book, sir, you have also collaborated with Mr. Stephen Cooper, you know, in terms of writing the book. So what are the things that you left to Mr. Cooper to, you know, handle? And of course, you were, you know, having a compilation of all the memories with through your friends and the things that you can personally recall. So how did this collaboration of writing a book, you know, went together for you guys?
Well, Steve was actually just—he was just a fan, and we went to when I went to England. He decided. He says, "Well, do you mind if I join you for a week or two? Me and my wife. They pay their own way. They pay for their flights every day, hotels." I said, "Sure, come along," and they went with me, and they went to just about, I don't know, 14 shows while we were there. And then when we came back, he says, while I was there, I kind of jotted down a little the stories that went on there, and I'd like to show them to you. And when he showed them to me, it was only about maybe 5 or 6 pages. I went, wow, Steve, this is really good. Are you a writer? He goes, no, I've never written in my life, but you know, I enjoy writing. I said, you should be a writer. This is you're writing good stuff. He goes, well, you know, as a matter of fact, I'd like to write your bio.
Wow.
And I went, oh, okay, that sounds interesting. You know how to do it? He went, I can learn. And learn he did. And within a year, we had a book. He traveled with me to every spot. Him and I were together for, him and I and my family and his wife were together for, well, I guess, maybe 9 months straight, traveling throughout Norfolk and Florida and going back and finding my friends and interviewing, you know. I mean, he was a wonderful asset and a great friend and a really nice gentleman, too.
Correct. Apart from that, sir, since now the book has already been launched in this month, in the month of June 2014. Would you like to share a little bit of experience about how did the launch went, where the launch happened, and who were the guest list, and what kind of feedback and, you know, comments did come so far to you?
Well, we did it at B.B. King's Blues Club in New York City on 42nd Street. And I usually have my birthday party every June there. The past one was my 6th annual birthday party. And the one for the book launching was last year. And it, I said, who did I have to have? Darlene Love, Benny King, Chuck Jackson. Who else did I have there? Oh, I forgot. oh, my goodness. It was so many. Everybody showed up at this doggone thing. It was unbelievable. We had about 1,000 people at the party. And then later on that night after the show, we actually did the book launching there at B.B. King's and Lucille's. And we had about, oh, I guess 600-700 people there for that. And we also did some songs. And you know, it was a great time. You had to be there.
Correct. And the book launch also marked a debut of a new single, That's My Story. The name of the book, That's My Story, and a single of by the title, That's My Story. So, what basically have you tried to, you know, convey through the lyrics with this song, sir?
Well, the CD comes with the book.
Wow. Okay.
You know, we release it with the book, and what it is, it's about about 3 to 4 minutes of everything that's in the book, only in song.
Great.
So if you don't want to read the book, you just want to dance, just listen to the record and dance.
That's in fact, I would say, a very, very unique concept, you know, not just like, all right, you're getting a book, but you are also getting, you know, a musical form of the book, which is, you know, I don't think so I have ever, you know, listened to this kind of a concept where somebody is releasing his biography in the form of a musical, you know, single.
No, they tell me this is the first one, so I was glad I thought of it. I always like to be first.
Wow, you have always been a genius, sir, and this geniusness has also been reflected in this idea. So I just hope that your book by U.S. Barnes, That's My Story, becomes number one book in coming days. And I just hope that God gives you so much of good health and, you know, inspiration to create music so that you keep on influencing the youngsters through your music, and we keep on, you know, inviting you on Carry On Harry Talk Show again and again.
Well, thank you so much. You're so kind, sir. I really, truly love you.
Thank you very much, sir. And I would like to give my platform to you. If you would like to, you know, convey any message to the listeners of Carry On Harry Talk Show regarding the release of your book, you know, where they can buy this book, and what are the avenues through which they can connect with you to give you the feedback. The platform is all yours, sir. You can mention anything.
Well, yeah, you can get it on the GaryUSBarnes.com. Or you can go, and if you get it on GaryUSBarnes.com, I will autograph it for you. If it goes to Amazon, you can get it at Kindle. You can get it just